Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is God's chosen one. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God, the gospel. I sincerely apologize if I'm about to start thoughts in your mind that weren't there previously that cause you any duress. But quite frankly, there are times when I still struggle to get used to new translations. The way the word behold is still used today in our culture would be just fine as a translation here in these verses. We see it used all the time in marketing. We see it in entertainment. You can imagine a magician saying, behold, and you know what he wants you to do. Focus on where he's pointing you rather than where your thoughts might be. In that moment, the reality is when you're told to behold something, you understand the person is telling you, stop what you're doing. Do not think about anything else. Do not look anywhere else. Do not listen to any other thing. Focus solely right now, completely, with all of your investment in this. And in the case of John the Baptist, it was a man that he had known, a man he had spent time with likely from the days of their childhood, their infancy. And he tells us some very interesting things about that relationship in these verses that we'll look at in a moment. But when it's all said and done, it's important for us to understand what John is telling us in the moment. He's telling us there is a singular, historical, eternal reason why we should pay attention to Jesus of Nazareth. And he sums it up two different times with simple words. Because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, when you hear that phrase, you already have the opportunity to say, yeah, no, not me, not today. I'm not beholding and focusing and seeing that man because the forgiveness of my sins is not all that important to me. I don't know why you would say that, but clearly there's plenty of people in the world who do, who don't want to think about sin in the first place, who don't want to acknowledge themselves as sinful, who don't want to value what John the Baptist is valuing in this moment as he says, look, behold, see that man, your Lamb. Now, there's all kinds of things that challenge us in moments like this in regard to that simple reality. We're so busy about our lives. We're so busy even creating the narrative that surrounds us that we're very careful to let on to other people that we have an interest in this moment, as invested as John's interest was in this moment. It's hard for us to accept and acknowledge what we said already this morning. Thought, word, action. I'm a desperately rebellious, sinful human being that needs God's intervention. Needs to hear somebody say to me, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, every last one of your sins is forgiven. That's the core of our understanding of these verses and why John the Baptist is pointing at Jesus in this moment. He's wanting the attention of everyone present. We know that he has been generating enormous crowds to come out and see him and listen to what he has to say. And he's been exceptionally consistent about what he has said he's there to do. He's telling the world, I'm here to prepare for one who comes after me who is so much more important than me. I'm not even worthy to unloosen his sandals. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He talks about the power and the judgment and the immediacy of the Messiah who's coming after him. Everybody should have expected, on the way that John spoke about him, that Jesus would be a man who could shoot lightning out of his fingers in the moment if he needed to. And actually, I'm sure he probably could. But that's not how he went about his ministry or his life. What the people standing there that day heard, the day after Jesus was baptized by John, was a very humble man who didn't seem to be trying to intrude on John's ministry and capture the crowd to take them along with him, but rather was simply allowing John the opportunity to point those who had been listening to John to a new source, also directly from God, who, as John had set the table, was understood to be far more important, with bigger things on his plate than what John had offered in regard to repentance and preparation for the other one's arrival. I'll think that through as John tells you things like he does in these verses in regard to this idea of, I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. John had been telling things to people about this Jesus. But John is wanting you and I to know that when he says, behold, look, stop what you're doing, invest yourself in a relationship with this man, he's telling you it's not just his opinion. It's not just that he values Jesus. He's telling you he left the opportunity open. Because as you and I think about it, the world, and especially the culture of the Hebrews, had been waiting for this moment when God would fulfill his promise of a descendant of Adam and Eve to pay the price for human sin and reverse the curse for thousands and thousands of years. And there had been a lot of misunderstanding about how this would play out. We know that already all the way back on the pages of Genesis, that Eve actually thought that one of her own sons that she would give birth to would be the one that God would label as the one worthy of undoing, she didn't understand, everything that God knew was necessary in his plan, a virgin birth, a perfect child, and so on. You and I know all those details because we've just traveled through that time of the year. And so it's not that hard to also imagine that over the course of those thousands of years, and especially in the most immediate years prior to this moment, there had been people who were suspected, perhaps, of maybe being the Messiah, or those who deliberately intended people to think of themselves as the Messiah. We know from at the time of the end of Jesus' life, from the historical accounting, that there were those who had been already put to death by the Romans for claiming to be the Messiah, who led rebellion against Rome just as the people wanted it to be. But that's not who Jesus was. And so John wants you to know that while he had been born into the world by a miracle birth and had been raised to understand himself to be the special prophet of God, that voice calling in the wilderness, make way, prepare yourself for the arrival of God on earth. He waited to be told for certain, with clarity, as to who the Messiah actually was. Because somewhere along the way, he was told, it will happen. You're going to go out in the wilderness and you're going to do your baptizing, and there's going to come a day when you will see the Holy Spirit actually come from heaven and to send and light upon the one you are to point to as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now for John, that had to have been an incredible day. We just heard the details last week. Jesus comes to him and he says, wait a minute, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. And Jesus says, no, we're going to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And a voice from heaven itself says, this is my son whom I love. And then John sees, okay, we've got all the evidence we need for John to be telling us, look, it's not just me telling you to look and see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The whole universe is screaming in this moment for you to stop what you're doing, stop what you're thinking, stop what you're looking at and listening to, and find a new target of all of that investment. The Lamb who must be seen because of who he is and what he's here to do. You can imagine how important it was, perhaps even stressful for John, throughout his preparation in his ministry. I'm to prepare the people. I'm to prepare the world. I need to know for certain who it is I'm supposed to point to as the answer. He likely had his suspicions all the way along, because there was only one other miracle baby that he was aware of, and he knew all the details that the family was sharing and so on. And yet he waited. He waited for the Spirit and the Father to make him certain. And then once he was certain, there was no stopping him. I can only imagine, and I would join you in assuming with me, I would invite you to join me in assuming, that every day that Jesus was in the presence of John the Baptist from that day forward, he did exactly this. We know he did it the first 2 days after Jesus' baptism, but that was the whole reason he was here. He had done all that work of preparation, and now the moment had arrived. He had told us he must increase, I must decrease. And now it was time. The disciples must go Jesus' way. The believers must follow Jesus. He couldn't have known how soon he would be arrested and how that would change the trajectory of everything going on. He didn't know all of those details. He just knew one thing for sure. It's time for me to bring it down, to decrease my volume and my presence and let everybody see this is all about him. Behold, see, look, understand the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we have from the rest of this lesson an accounting of how the very first of John's disciples did exactly that. They came to know and understand what John was trying to get them to do. Follow him. Listen to him. Learn from him. Everything he tells you is going to be at a whole different level than anything I can teach you. He's the one promised from ancient times. And then the imagery that John uses is exceptionally important as well. You think Lamb of God, you think Passover. You think Lamb, you hear Lamb of God and you think blood shed, painted over doors of both house and barn. So firstborn survive the night, and everyone who doesn't trust God's promise and take that action, they all experience death. And now you have the fulfillment. And you and I, we have the ability to look ahead. We know the proximity and the relationship of that Passover celebration and the sacrifice of Jesus. And we know how God required them to use a one-year-old lamb that was perfect and flawless as they could possibly find, and not break its bones, and follow very careful instructions of how to sacrifice that animal and eat up all that was available so that there wasn't anything wasted, and the whole thing. You and I have the details of understanding what John is all saying when he points at Jesus as not just another human being, not just his relative, not just as God in human flesh, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one who has arrived here for the singular purpose of paying your debt to God, making you eternal, making sure you are welcome and approved to live in God's presence forever, that you have life after death, and you can live out the rest of your life from the moment you come to know and believe and embrace that truth, knowing without a doubt that every last one of your sins that you will still commit until that day you step into eternity is washed away in the blood of that Lamb that you must see, that you must look at, not just in the moment John calls you to, but every day of your life, every time you realize yourself a sinner, every time you desire to be out under the weight of that guilt and the slavery to whatever its sin that captures you over and over again, day after day, you still have that same Lamb to look to, that same Lamb to see as the only one possible, taking away your sin and making you right with God. We're not told a lot about John the Baptist, but I suspect he was a man of significant intelligence. He had to have known in this moment what a big deal it was and how important it was for him to start offloading the people who were listening to him, because clearly he had caught the attention and had the ear of huge amounts of people, that it was time for everybody to move on from him. What I also wonder about, though, is if he ever had any inkling of how many people over time would hear his words, to follow his instructions, and to do exactly what he's telling you and me in this moment, and believers around the world this day as this lesson is read, to behold, to see, to look at and understand the Lamb who must be seen, because he is the only difference maker, the only hope. Think of yourself as one of so many who have heard the voice of the one calling in the wilderness over thousands of years of time. You understand what he's telling you to do. You see for yourself who this Jesus is and what he has come to do for you. And you behold. You listen, you worship, you trust, you celebrate, and you confess and witness to others that it's not John the Baptist alone that's convinced you, just like he wasn't the only one thinking this about Jesus. That your heavenly Father has literally moved heaven and earth so that he might speak with his own voice about that Jesus. And through the pages of his word inspired to reach your heart, he has convinced you that that man is the Son whom he loves, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold. Behold your Jesus, your Savior. See him for who he is. Embrace him for everything John declares him to be, and that you have continued to grow in your knowledge of who he is by your own pursuit of his truth in his word, and be confident every day that you are part of the world that he came and then did accomplish redemption from sin. That the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has stood in the gap between you and an angry God and taken your sin away too. Come to his table to receive that forgiveness. Come participate in that death, in that body and blood given for you for the forgiveness of your sins, and be renewed again in what it means to the world but to you that you're Jesus. As you see him, as John points to him, is indeed that Lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.